If you need prayed for this morning, it's Communion Sunday. We always have prayer people on either side to pray over you. And this morning, we're continuing our series on the Holy Spirit. And this morning, we're talking about the Holy Spirit He adopts, the role of the Holy Spirit in the adoption, spiritual adoption process. And so, if it's been just a really long time since you've heard Jesus tell you He loves you, He cares about you, and He's your Father, and we want you to come forward. We want to give you a special prayer of blessing over you this morning. And so that's coming up. So as I speak this morning, if you just, you know, and I need to hear from the Lord this morning. I just need some love. We want you to come forward and get prayed for. And then, too, there's also a couple of you out there who this morning is your morning for baptism. So don't, like, let that go. If there's this tug going on, if there's a fight going on in your head or whether or not you should or you shouldn't, then you should. That's normally how that works. So let me just quickly recap. We talked about first a couple weeks ago that He is, right? The Holy Spirit is present and He's a person. He's not an it. He's not a thing. He's not some amoeba spiritual floaty thing. He's not that. He's a person who wants to be present in your life. He wants to comfort, care, and convict us, and to lead us into a better relationship with the Father. That's what He desires. Then Donna spoke to us about the fact that He speaks, right? He does. He speaks to us. He speaks to us through the Word of God. He speaks to us sometimes audibly. Sometimes people have an experience where they hear the audible voice of God. And other times He speaks to our thoughts. He'll give us images, or then other times there's just this knowing in your gut that that's God. And we often refer to it as the knower, right? In your gut, you just know that God is speaking to you. And how we know He is speaking is what we hear lines up with the Word of God. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, normally it's not the Holy Spirit speaking. So what we hear, if it's true, noble, just, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy, that is the Holy Spirit speaking. And He does all of that with love and compassion, even conviction. The enemy oftentimes brings guilt with shame. The Holy Spirit brings conviction with love. That's how we know. And this morning, we're going to talk about the role of the Holy Spirit in the adoption process, that you've been spiritually adopted into the kingdom of God, right? I've been reading this book called Sacred Rhythms by Ruth Haley Barton. And this is phenomenal. This is a phenomenal book. And she tells this story as she's talking about what it looks like to repent and receive forgiveness. She tells this story. She gets permission from her teenage daughter. And this is the scenario. Ruth and her husband had gone out to a birthday party. They were going to be gone until way late in the night. And when they got home, they noticed that the house was not as they left it. They left teenage daughter home by herself. When they got home, the house was not the same. It was clean, but there seemed to be a sticky residue on the counter and the floors. There was food wrappers and stuff in the garbage that they did not purchase. And so they began to get an inkling that something happened that they didn't know about while they were away. And so they asked their daughter, Charity, about it. Charity, do you know why the house? And she hemmed and hawed and everything. Well, it's kind of fuzzy. And so they let it go that night, and they got up the next morning, and her mom presses her, Ruth presses her, and says, listen, if you don't tell me what happened, I'm going to have to call the police because clearly something happened in this house, and so I need to get them involved. And then the confession starts to come out. Well, I had a couple of people over, and over the course of the next 2 days, they get the whole picture. She had invited a couple friends over. A couple other friends heard about it. They came over. Alcohol was involved at one point. A lot of it was consumed. At one point, a neighbor actually drove a kid home because he was too drunk. And when they figured this all out, they did what, in my mind, is amazing. They told Charity, hey, listen, we're going to call up every single parent of every single kid that was over at our house, and we're going to have a meeting. And if you could imagine what was going on in Charity's mind, she had to be terrified. And to their surprise, every single parent, both father and mother, when in those homes they were both present, Everybody came over, and all the kids. And they sat around, and for the next few hours, as this environment was fostered, where they were allowed to speak what happened, and the response was embraced with love, one kid after another confessed until the entire picture was painted, and every parent had the opportunity to ask every question that they wanted. Once that was all satisfied, they went to conclude the night. And then Charity, their daughter, said, "I want to speak." It was a good story. It was a good story. I cried every time I read the stupid thing. So she begins to speak, and she said, my biggest fear in this news coming forward is that you guys would no longer trust me to be a friend of your son and daughter. And she was met with a response, because of her confession and her repentance, she was met with a response of love and compassion by every single person there. And as everybody made their way out of the house, and it was just her and her parents left, she said this to her parents: "I don't care what happens to me now. I know that I'm forgiven. I don't care what happens to me now. I know that I am forgiven." As we press into this thing called a relationship with Jesus Christ, it becomes painfully aware to us sometimes that we are forgiven. As we turn to him, we're forgiven. Listen to the words of Romans chapter 8. If you have your Bibles with you, open them up to Romans chapter 8. It's page 1096 in your pew Bible. Or maybe you need to get your handheld device out. Go ahead and do that. Romans chapter 8, this beautiful picture is painted of what the forgiving Father does in and through us through the role of the Holy Spirit. Paul has just been having this conversation about why do I do what I don't want to do and don't do what I do want to do, and all I end up with is doo-doo. Like, it's just this doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. I can't do this. I can't do it on my own. Every time I try, I fail. Every time I try, I fail. Every time I try, I fail. And then comes verse 1 of chapter 8. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus." And you walked in here this morning with the weight of the world on your shoulders. Hear these words: "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." And he begins to paint this picture in Romans chapter 8 that leads us to this awesome image of Christ as our Father. And this is the back and forth. "Because through Christ Jesus," in verse 2, "the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sin nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin and sinful man in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature anymore, but according to the Spirit." This is what's said. There's two laws here. See these? There's two laws here. One is the law of the sin nature, right? All that's not good, all that's gross and disgusting about us. And then the law that Christ had established, that God had established in the Old Testament, the covenant with the God of the universe. What the law of our sin nature that just leads to destruction and causes chaos in our lives was begun to be taken care of by the law, the covenant with the God of the universe, now has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So that now there is therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And this freedom enters into the picture in humanity that has never existed before. So what the Son has set free is free indeed. Some of us are in desperate, desperate need of freedom. And you need to know that God wants you free. And then he continues, "Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of the sinful man is death. It's gross, it's disgusting, it's chaos, it's everything impure. But the mindset and the spirit is life and peace. Why then would we want to keep on going in a life of death when we can experience peace? And the word peace is as we should be in perfect community with the God of the universe. The sinful mind is hostile to God in verse 7. It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, if you're in Christ Jesus, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they don't belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies who lives in you, his Spirit who lives in you. We know, I mean, all we have to do is look at the world and realize there's brokenness. There's brokenness. There is a life in the sin nature that leads to destruction. And there's life in the Spirit that leads to peace. Some friends of my wife and I, a couple years ago, were reading through Scripture, and they were in the book of James, and it says, look after widows and orphans. And they felt like the God of the universe was saying, hey, listen, you have space in your house. There are people in need. Go find them. And so they went and talked to some friends of theirs who had adopted and said, hey, listen, what's the process? They started looking into it, and their first encounter with the foster care system was a 2-year-old boy with a broken spleen and a cracked liver. Because his mom's boyfriend decided to kick him down a set of stairs. If you don't think there's brokenness, it doesn't take very long to look. And we watched them love on this kid like he was their own. And the first words out of his mouth when they met him for the first time in the hospital was, Mommy, Daddy. This little 2-year-old boy knew at 2 years old that there was something different about this couple. There was a spirit inside of them that was different than he had experienced in his 2 short years. And we watched them love all over this kid for the next couple years, and it ultimately led to adoption. And it was this beautiful picture of this chaotic world and this child that experienced this chaos and destruction being embraced by a loving father and mother into a place of peace. Shortly after the adoption, they found out that his mom had had a child, another child, with the boyfriend who had kicked Sharif. And immediately they got the call, hey, listen, would you like to take this child in as well? And her name is Tiani. And she is this little... And we watched them love on her. And once again, this amazing picture of God's love in this family. Maybe this morning you were hurting. Maybe this morning the world is just doing a number on you. Hear these words from Paul in Romans. There is freedom in Christ Jesus. There is freedom for you this morning. He continues. In verse 12, and this is where it starts to get good, if it's not good already. This picture that he's been painting, a life in the Spirit, as the Spirit comes in and starts taking over, and you're experiencing this peace, Paul gives us this imagery, and he does it for them, but it's really a good picture for us as well. It says in verse 12, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. Who'd want to do that? It leads to death. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Lily painted that picture so well. And you see the kids' response. Hi, family. Hi, family. So good. Verse 15. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. That's really the word adoption in the Greek there. You have now been adopted by God, your creator. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. It's the only response we can have. Daddy! Caleb does it to me all the time. He sees me. I come home, he goes, Daddy! This morning, you can stand freely like a little kid and go, Daddy! And this, it keeps going. Now, if we are children, then we're heirs. You're not just his children, you are now heirs. And we're going to talk about that in a second. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. This is awesome, right? So in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew culture, they knew how to take care of orphans. They did. There was battles going on all the time, right? There was constant fighting, and there were kids in need. And they had this because of what God had done for them, adopting them as his children, Israel. They would love on those kids. They would be adopted in. They'd be taken care of. But they would keep their name because names were very important, right? They would keep their name, right? Yeah, I'm getting a nod from my Hebrew scholar back there, right? They would keep their name because names were really important. And so you didn't necessarily get all the rights and privilege that it meant to be a child of so-and-so. You kept your name and you walked it out. In Greek culture, there was like this almost disdain for kids. Take them or leave them. If they made it, you know, to adulthood, hooray. But if they didn't, nah, it's all right. It really was kind of that just so what kind of attitude. And so because of that, oftentimes people would end up without an heir. And so this thing of adoption started taking place. Oh no, I have nobody to pass anything on to. I need an heir. I need to adopt somebody quickly. And so they would adopt, oftentimes, adult males as their heirs. And oftentimes slaves. In his book, From Orphans to Heirs, Mark Stipe paints it this way. Can you imagine, right? You're growing up and you're a slave. You're taking care of all the yuck stuff that you need to do as a slave. You're cleaning bathrooms and you're cleaning up after people and you're almost like not even human. And then all of a sudden, your owner comes to you and says, how would you like to be my child? How would you like to be my son? And literally what happened was your old self ceased to exist and you became a brand new person with all the rights, all the privileges, all the inheritance of that new person's name. You went from slave to an heir. You went from non-existent to having a history and heritage. And if there was any issues in your former life, any problems, even with the law, they were gone. You were now an heir of this new person. And so Paul, in Romans here, he brings these two pictures together for us. He loved on his people, Israel, with a love that was undeniable. And he grafted them into his family with all that love and affection. But they got a new name. And that new name was Child of Jesus. And those two worlds collide for us spiritually, in that our old self, the self that could not do nothing but do, has now been made brand new. The old is gone, the new has come. You are now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are that are in Christ Jesus. And you have been, you are an heir of the King. All the rights, all the privileges have now been declared over you. You've been declared a son or a daughter. You have a promise of an inheritance. And oftentimes, always in that Greek culture, there was a response or a condition against rebellion. Put that old stuff away and embrace the newness that comes from Christ Jesus. As I conclude, our baptism people are going to get ready. Let me finish up this story for you. We watched Scott and Andrea walk through this relationship with these two kids. And one day we're going to a baseball game, and we're walking across the street, and all of a sudden there is a screech. And this car stops in the middle of the road. And this woman jumps out, and it's Sharif and Tiani's mother. They haven't seen this woman in 2 years, so they have no idea what to expect from her. She comes running over, "My babies!" And Annette is holding Tiani in her arms. And I'm across the street, and there's like cars going by, and I'm like, do I need to go tackle this woman? Like, literally, I have no idea what she's going to do. And they're talking, and I kind of get the eye, I know we're okay, so we're just kind of standing there. And then she hugs the mother of the kids, hugs Andrea, and walks away and gets in the car. And we're, I said, you know, what happened? And she said, well, you know, she was really excited to see the kids, but she wanted to thank me for taking the kids in because they were better off with her. Hear me, church. You are better off with the Father. You are better off with the Father. Let that land on you like it's never landed before. This world literally has nothing good to offer. You are better off with the Father. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would continue to let that land on each and every single one of us. That we know that we are loved by the Father. I ask that you would allow us to embrace that in a way that's never happened for us before. In your Son's name, amen. Now let me, you can lift that up, Tom. This is how this is going to go down. These are the instructions, okay? So we're going to